be wonderful there. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Matthew, chapter number 11. If you look at Matthew chapter 11, there's a couple verses that's real familiar. I've preached on them several different times, different types of messages. But before I read those verses, I want to look at the chapter as a whole. If you notice in chapter 11, it begins and it talks about John being in prison, sending two of his disciples. And he sends them in verse number 3 and wants to know and sends them to Jesus. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Somebody said, well, what would cause John the Baptist to doubt? But you know, there's times when we all have doubts. There's times when all kinds of things come into our minds and hearts, especially when we're going through rough times. And of course, John was waiting, as you know, he's waiting to get his head cut off. They're going to cut his head off, and he's going to go to heaven. But it sends his disciples to Jesus. And so Jesus in verse 4 and 5 and 6, he talks about it and sends them back to him and tells them, go tell him what they're seeing him do. Because, of course, when you read Isaiah chapter 61, the Messiah was going to be able to raise the dead, do all the things that he was doing in their sight. And so, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus experienced these having doubts. And let me say this. When you're not confident in your salvation, I tell people this. Sometimes people say, preacher, you should never preach anything to make people question their salvation. But I'm of this mind. If you're saved, it can't affect you. But if you're lost, then you need to know it. You need to think about it. And the important thing is to understand, Jesus said himself, there'll be many in that day that's going to think that they were saved and is going to end up not being saved. So there's times when if you get in a position where you doubt, and where you're doubting, you need to understand, while you're there, God really can't use you. He doesn't use you much, because what happens is, the devil uses all that to tear your mind up, tear your spirit up, and your soul is not at rest. Now, let me just say this for the sake of the message. And I've taught on it many times, I'm not going to spend much time on it. You've got the flesh the Bible talks about. And the flesh is a sinful part of every one of us. Whether you're saved or lost, you still got the flesh. When you get saved, you do not lose the flesh, the sinful flesh. You still have it. But when you get saved, your spirit, the inner part of you, the holy part of you, becomes alive. It's a part in which you can worship God, pray to God, and deal with God, and His Spirit witnesses your spirit. And then at the point you get saved, the flesh and the spirit, Galatians chapter 5, begins to combat with one another. The flesh lusts against the spirit against flesh. They're contrary one to another. But caught in the middle is your soul. And Jesus is going to talk here in a moment about those who their soul needs to have some rest. The soul is a part of you that's got your emotions, your feelings, your affections, of course, your memory, imaginations, all kinds of things. And that makes up who you are, what you think, and how you deal with things, and how you reason things out. And so what happens is, when you are doubting, it troubles your soul, and it takes all the joy away of what it means to be saved. And so here, we have that with John. Then he goes on down and he says, and by the way, verse number 11, he gives John a great testimony. You say, well, anybody who is as much of a Christian would never have any doubt. Listen, he said he's the greatest person born of a woman in verse number 11. And so Jesus didn't think that way. But then you look on down and you notice that he says in verse 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? Is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. In other words, they said, now we're asking things of you and you're not doing what we're asking of you. And they remind me of all this bunch running around here, rioting and tearing things down and burning things up. It's created such danger in some of these cities. I noticed in Portland where the mayor was moving out of his house, going to move somewhere they were coming at him. But yet it's on him to do something about it, to stop it. Now, let me say this. I said that to say this. They're making demands, and you'll never meet their demands because they don't even know what they're demanding. And the more that you give them, the more that they will require. There's ways in which there are laws and there are approaches in which you take care of things. And what they're doing is every time somebody gives in to them, and by the way, nobody's gave in to them any more than the mayor of Portland. And you know what they do? They're wanting to take his job and they're wanting to do this to him and do that to him. And he's having to move and they're riding against his place. You know why? They'll never be satisfied. But it's not new. Jesus said to these people here, this generation was doing the same thing. Look back in your Bible. He says, for John came neither eating or drinking, verse 18, and they said, he hath the devil. Then in verse number 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified over children. In other words, he said, you can't be satisfied. He said, you said John, because he didn't eat and drink with a bunch of you, that he was a devil. And he said, when I did eat and drink with the sinners and publicans, then I was a wine bibber and a glutton. And he said, you can't be satisfied. And of course, the religious leaders was pushing this. And so these people was wary. And as if you remember, these will be the same people later on that will be worked up in a frenzy, in a mob, wanting to kill Jesus. Crying, crucify him, crucify him, let his blood be upon us and the head of our children. You know why? You know why people are so easy to get worked up in a mob? Because the Bible says the wicked souls, the souls that's not saved, it's like the troubled sea. It just stirs up, and there's a stirring in their souls. They can find no rest. And so here, Jesus brings it to their attention. He said, you say one way, and then I come doing the other way, and then you want to blame me for it, says there's no satisfying you. Look on, if you would, in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now he's going to turn to the cities where he had healed the sick and raised the dead and cast out demons and taught and preached. If anybody should have repented, it should have been those cities. But notice what he says in verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Now notice here, he's teaching us another principle. He's teaching that in hell, in the day of judgment, when these people stand before God, that not only are they going to be cast to hell, but it will be a more severe punishment for them. To whom much is given, he said later on, much will be required. And so here he says that it'll be more tolerable for them than it would for the people in Tyre and Sidon, because they hadn't seen what they had seen there. Look in verse 23. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. If the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So again, he looked at Capernaum. He said, now Capernaum, I've done all these work for you. Now it's going to be more tolerable for the people of Sodom. If I had done this in their eyes, in their presence, they would have repented, and Sodom would still be around today. But he said, you've seen all these things, and you repented not. And so that gets us to the message where we want to go. In verse number 25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now notice he would in verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your what? For your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now picture this just a moment. Jesus is addressing a great crowd of people, and all of them have distress for their souls. Some because they're doubting. Others because they won't look for the truth and find the truth and wouldn't know the truth if it hit them. And they just want to deny anything that has to do with Jesus or John the Baptist in regards to what they say, what they do. And then the other crowd is those that he has done the most work and preached the most messages, and yet they've heard it and they just continually reject it. And so all these people, their soul was troubled. Now, let me say something just a minute. If you look in verse number 28, he gives an invitation. And it's, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Now, here you find out labor is when we are absolutely wore out from effort. And heavy laden means that we are being pressed down by weights that we carry upon us. One of the indications of the last days, Daniel said in chapter 12, verse 4, would be that we would see many running to and fro. We would have people running. And you know, in America, if you've never been outside of America, you don't realize how good that we have it in America. You don't realize how blessed we have been. But I went when I went to Costa Rica and down into Panama to preach a meeting down in there. In Costa Rica, we were in a place in a little town, and the missionary and a friend of his was, we went to buy a moped for them to travel to villages on. And so we were in a store, and we were right in the middle of buying a moped. And it come 12 o'clock in the day, noon. And they said, you have to leave. We got closed. I said, why? Siesta. I said, siesta? They said, yeah, we have siesta between 12 and 1. And I said, is that mandated by law? No, we just choose to have a siesta between 12 and 1. So we had to stand outside their business for an hour waiting on them to come back from their siesta to finish our transaction. Here, the number one disease, an issue that people has in America, you know what it is? Stress. Depression. And we have it better than anybody else. We are so weary and burdened. I want to show you a few things just a moment in this invitation that God gives. But first I want you to notice that Jesus says, come unto me. There's only one place. And somebody said, what do you see when you see all these rioters and all these looters and all this? I see a bunch of people that needs to come to Jesus. If they would come to Jesus, it would fix the problem. I don't have desire to go loot. I don't have desire to go burn somebody else's business. I don't have a desire to go kill somebody else and see people suffer and pain. What they're missing in their life, they have no rest for their souls. But let me say this. He's talking here to those who are saved to come and serve him and find that the service of God can give you great comfort and rest. But first of all, before you can serve him, you have to come and be saved. And so the invitation is, come to me. Nowhere else. There is no other name given. There is none other that you can go to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one source of finding rest for your souls. If you're here and your soul is a mess inside, you know, we sit here and we look pretty good on the outside. I think sometimes, I think of all these people that take their lives. Some of them would just surprise you. And I know I worked in EMS for 25 years. I picked up many, many of them. As a matter of fact, I had some to take their life right in front of my presence, trying to talk them out of it. I thought of, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Robin Williams, the comedian. On the outside, he looked so happy and cheery, and he always had laughing and care. But the trouble is, he had no rest for his soul. People can hide their soul. The soul is what you don't see. You see the outside, and sometimes people puts on a good show. And I was thinking, how sad. How sad that he thought his only way out was to take his life, young as he was. And not only him, but many others. But he just came to my mind. Think about just a moment how that Jesus said, come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden. Notice that little word, all? It's to everybody that will recognize that they need him. You know, the world's problem is this. Trump is not the answer. Jesus is still the answer. Jesus can change a man where nothing else can. He changes the inside. Now, somebody else may make it a little, add a few jobs and may do a few other things here and there to the country. And I'm all for that as much as it goes. But he is not the answer. Jesus is still the answer. And the amazing thing about this is God created such a salvation. Think about this just a moment. Muslims, if you're going to come to Allah and be a Muslim, you got to go through the five pillars of Islam. You got to pray five times a day. You got to fast at least once a month. Think about that. You know what that does? That puts burdens on people's soul. That troubles the soul. It beats them down because they think they have to do that to go to heaven. Jesus said, you want to go to heaven? Come unto me. That's the difference between Christianity and Islam. The difference between Christianity and Judaism. These Pharisees and scribes, they had 613 laws. And the Pharisees walked around in all their piety, and they put those things. And I know some of the mayors and governors and speaker of the house and all these, they got all this piety and they won't pass all these laws. Well, we can't go in a restaurant. We can't go into a gym. We can't go here. We can't go. And then lo and behold, behind the scenes, they're going in themselves. Hypocrisy. But the point of the matter is, these Pharisees, that's what they were doing. They were saying, you can't do that. You didn't wash your hand before you ate. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. 613 laws they made everybody, required everybody to do. And you know what they did? They had to, they could only fix their meat a certain way. They could only do their dairy a certain way. They had all kinds of restrictions on everything that they did. That's what they had to do to go to Jehovah, according to the Judaism. But yet Jesus says, come to me. You heavy laden, don't be laden down with a bunch of religion. You look down in the Hindu, they talk about reincarnation. You have to pay tribute 3 times a day to your shrines and all these things. Puts burdens upon people. Jesus simply said, come to me. That's the difference between a religion that burdens people and one that offers a relief for your burdens. So therefore, if you notice when Jesus said these things, look back in your Bible a minute, notice that he says in verse 28, come. Did you notice that? Did you notice he says take? Did you notice he says learn? You know what all those are? What's those words? Verbs. You know what a verb is? It's an action word. You know what an action word is? It means that God requires you to do something if you want this. If you want Jesus, you got to come. You got to take. You got to learn. It just doesn't come. He requires you to do something. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He makes a promise. The invitation is to all. Come to me. I'll give you rest. It's amazing. People sitting right beside of you, their souls may be tore all to pieces. They may smile with you and shake your hand, but on the inside, there's something really missing. Friend, if you're here tonight and your soul's that way, I know the answer. Jesus is the answer. Notice if you would, back in your Bibles, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He goes on, he talks about his burden being light. You see, he wants us to leave something. He wants us to leave our burdens. Our problem is this, we don't understand. He doesn't want you to add him. Some people says, well, I'd be saved, but if I was saved, then I would have to do this, and I'd have to do that, I'd have to do this, I'd have to do that. You don't understand. Being saved brings a feast in your life. Not a famine. Not a funeral. How many of you would say they're saved? How many of you would say, it's the greatest thing ever happened to me in my life? Let me ask you this. If someone was offering you a $10 million to give your salvation up, would you do that? You know why? And how many of you, before you got saved, on the outside looking in, you thought that it'd be that you fought it because you was afraid of what you'd have to give up? But see, what Jesus is telling us here is this. He says, I don't want you to think that I'm adding another burden onto the burdens that you have. He said, I want you to come and give me your burdens. And he said, my burden's going to be light. You know why it's light? There's only two things he asked. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And number two, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know why Christians don't flood cities and burn places? Because the Holy Spirit of God has shed abroad in their heart a love of God. That love of God makes you look differently. I don't want to go down here and start shooting up a school. I don't want to go over here and throw a bomb in a place. Even sometimes when people have done things to you, Still yet, you have a desire just to pray for them and lift them up. And by the way, can I say this? Too many of us are burdened down with everybody else's demands and expectations of us. You hear what I'm saying? We go around and we want to do what people expect of us. And sometimes we carry those burdens. And sometimes people just ask and ask and ask, and they don't even think how much they're asking. And they just keep asking. And they don't understand the burden that it puts on you. And sometimes the burden of what they put on you, and you trying to help them out and love them and try to do things to help them. It's amazing sometimes. They don't realize. And some people think that they've got to do it for popularity, or they think they've got to do it for approval. Jesus, come to me. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Just come to me. I was thinking Sunday, Riley was over the house eating lunch, and I was fixing to eat my lunch. And she went back to the toy room, and I'd been back there playing with her a little bit. She come out, she wanted me to go play toy. And she'd come holler, Pap, and she wanted me to come back there and play toy. And she just kept hollering. She wouldn't let up. Well, I thought I just got up and left my dinner and went. Bad thing to do, I understand. But I did it. But the point of it is, I thought, that's what we do to everybody else. Everybody else demands all this stuff of us, and they ask all these things of us. And what it's doing is it's putting burdens upon us, and it's weighing burdens, and we're carrying burdens. Jesus said, listen, bring your burdens to me. Leave your burdens with me, and the only two burdens I want you to take away is I want you to surrender to me, and I want you to love God and love your neighbor. And Jesus said, all the other laws are wrapped up in those two. You don't have to get all caught up about what to do if you keep those two close. I mean, tonight, you know, I could walk out there to a complete stranger. And I don't have to know him to want to help him and do something good for him if I can do something good for him. Because there's something inside of me that makes me want to do that. Also, he says that there's something we need to take, which is a yoke. Now, most of you know what a yoke is. A yoke is a wooden instrument that they use to pull heavy burdens. And, of course, a harness is used a lot of times with one, but a yoke means at least two. And, of course, they would put oxen in the yoke. And old farmers, they'd take an old, wise, mature ox, and they'd put with a young ox. An old one that knew the rules and knew the language and could respond. And he would teach them. And sometimes they would even take a donkey and stick in there because the donkey was easier to teach than the ox. And they would teach them, put them in a yoke with them. Jesus said this. He said, get in a yoke with me. And he said, this is what I want to do. I'll be the stronger of the two. And by the way, you could take a horse that could pull 2 tons and a horse that could pull 3 tons, and you could stick them together, and they might pull 7 or 8 tons. And Jesus said, listen, you want to get rid of your burdens? He said, get yoked in with me, and what I'll do is I'll pull the load for you. Let me handle it. Trust me. And just put your faith in me. And so therefore we are to yoke with him. And he says something then, if you look back in your Bibles in verse number 29, or 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest means to cease from those worries. You know, that's why the Sabbath day was made. It was made a day of rest. Most of you don't remember. How many of you old enough to remember the blue law in America? Y'all don't remember that, do you? You guys don't remember it? Jesse, y'all don't remember it? The Blue Law, on Sunday, everything in the nation closed down. That was in my lifetime. Anybody know what year it was when they ceased the Blue Law? Voted out. And so what happened was, you couldn't buy gas, you couldn't go out and eat, you couldn't do anything. Everybody had to close on Sunday. It was a day of rest. And then all of a sudden they said, well, we're going to just have one store open, call it a convenience store, but it won't cause us to start opening things up on Sunday. That's always the lie that starts the process. But the point is, he said, I'll give you rest for your souls. Listen, folks, before I close, I want you to listen. The greatest joy of being saved is to have rest for your souls. You know what? Isn't it nice to be able to know whatever happens tomorrow, whatever may happen tonight? Isn't it good to be able to have rest for your souls and not have to worry about the future? You know why I don't worry about the future? I'm yoked with Christ. My hope is not in me. My hope's in Christ. You know why I don't worry about tomorrow? Because if I just stay yoked with Christ, I don't know what may come tomorrow. And somebody said, well, what will you do if the stock market crashes? I won't jump out of a big 29-story building. Yeah, I don't have anything there anyway, so it don't matter. But point is this. I have the promise of him that I'm yoked with. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything that I will need, he will provide to me and make a way. And I can already tell you, there's been times when I had needs, and he has provided those needs. And he's always been true and faithful in that. And you know what? That gives me a great rest. You know why? Because whoever wins this election, I'm still yoked with him. And whatever comes of America, I'm still yoked with him. And whatever happens this body, I'm still yoked with him. And you know what that does? That brings great rest to my soul. I don't sit, my wife would tell you, I come to bed, unless something just really caused me pain or something, I come to bed, 5 minutes, it can be storming all around, I'm gone. And it doesn't matter. She'll say, it's storming, thundering. I said, okay, I'm gone. You know why? I know who I'm yoked with. Now tonight, you may not be yoked with him. This world is full of people. They have no rest for their souls. And Jesus gives everybody the invitation to come. And notice the last thing he says. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You see, when you submit to him, he's not like Pharaoh that's a taskmaster. He's meek and lowly. He allows, and sometimes he lets you go through trials. Sometimes you go through times when you're being pressed down, tribulations. But he is such a partner that when you get through it, you find that he pulled you through. When the going got rough, you just leaned upon him, Linda, and he pulled you. When you felt like you couldn't walk another step, go another mile, all of a sudden you felt strength coming from his side. And then you get outside of it and you look back and you realize that he carried you the whole way. That's what it means to come unto me, to find rest for your souls. God doesn't want us to be troubled like a troubled sea. That's why Jesus came. That he would bind up the brokenhearted. He would loosen the bonds of those that were enslaved. In 25 years of EMS, I can tell you how sad it was. Just right over here in this building, right over here, I'd go and I'd pick up men that'd be reaching up, trying to catch imaginary things. They'd be seeing snakes crawl up the wall. I'd have to walk through Listerine bottles and NyQuil bottles, and they'd been sitting there and laying and urinating on themselves and defecating on themselves for days and sometimes weeks. And I look at them, and the smell would be so bad you couldn't even hardly breathe. And I look at them, I think, what a troubled soul. If only they'd find Jesus. Look what he's done for us. He can do the same for them. But you must be willing to come. Would you come tonight as we get a song of invitation, Brother Jesse?
Page 368.
Brings that peace with God, that quietness.
Page 368.
How about tonight? Maybe God may be speaking to your heart. You need to come.